and God's people said, amen. I hope you paid attention. That's a new hymn that's been written, and we'll be asking these folks to come back up at the end of the service and close with the last two verses. So the melodies, all that stays the same. So hymns are still being written, praise songs are still being written, and our souls are still being moved to worship. Thank you, praise team and band, for your work in leading us in this way. And again, thanks to the handbells for starting us out today. And we all give a shout out to Wynn Roos, their director, who is at home feeling under the weather today. Just classic, isn't it? You lead the team, you do all that prep, and you miss the big moment here. And you know, she was so proud to watch her team and her daughter leading. Thank you so much again, Joy, for filling in today. Well, I want to say to everyone, welcome to Memorial Day weekend here at Pathways. Being here in the nation's capital is special in that way, and I just say to all of us, let's be reminded that Memorial Day in the United States is designated as a day to especially honor those not only who served, but who made the ultimate sacrifice and gave their lives in military service to this nation and its people. And churches across our country today, including us, we stand here today grateful to those men and women, soldiers and sailors and airmen and women and guardians and National Guards and reserves, regardless of branch or role. We are thankful to live in this union called the United States of America. Imperfect as she may be, we are grateful for the freedoms, for the opportunities that are ours, because we stand on the shoulders and the sacrifices of others. And I would also say that all those who are present who have a family member in their past, it might be a grandparent, or it might have been a parent, an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or whomever who made that sacrifice and your family remembers them, we join with you and we thank you. You have our special gratitude as well, because we know that your loss has helped preserve the liberties we enjoy and value so highly. So thank you as well. I'm also grateful today to say that Second Lieutenant Williams over here, my Air Force doctor daughter, is with us for the next month or so on a local assignment. Now, I always try to tell the truth when I stand in this pulpit. That's probably a good habit, right? I always try to tell the truth. And here's what I'm going to confess to you. My father served in World War II. My father-in-law served in World War II. My brother-in-law served in Vietnam. And I will say, nothing makes the well-being of the military climb in importance to you like having your child serve in the military. And so thank you for your service. Thank you. I want to say thank you to the church family, because I think the reality is you have helped so much over the years to raise not only this pastor's kids, but all of our pastor's kids here. And I can tell you, whenever we talk about that as a staff, we are united in our unanimous consent and gratitude for a church family that has helped us so much to raise our kids into the people they are and the people they are becoming. Now let's get back to our new teaching series. We started last week, Wordle, Key Words for Life Today. And last week we studied to find what the true biblical teachings are around the word happy. And so I hope you had a reasonably happy week in many things for you. I know for us, Callie's return home was a very happy blessing. And if you think Mary Beth and I are happy, you should see the dog. Those of you who have my Facebook page, you can see the video of the dog going absolutely nuts to have her mom come home. But that's not the only thing we're happy about this week. We have another very distinguished couple in our church. We want to give a shout out to Clayton and Ellen Teague, who are marking 60 years of their wedding anniversary. So we give them a shout out. I think as I think about where I'm going, some of the comments I'm making today in this message, their example becomes even all the more important to me. And then there was another happy moment this week. Mary Beth and I were privileged to share by attending a reception in honor of our very own deacon, Chris Comerford, who's right over here somewhere usually, right? Did you? Yeah, there she is, back there, who was honored, and we were allowed to attend this reception at the French ambassador's home on Wednesday evening and receive a honorary medal from the French government in appreciation for her service as, I love how they say this, diplomatie through gastronomie. Very, very true in the way that Chris and those on her team and the other teams that serve their chief executives around the world do. And I want you to know, Chris, that we offer you our congratulations, but especially as your Pathways brothers and sisters, we express to you our respect and our appreciation for the ministry you have. And I say this with full sincerity, if America's political leaders in Congress and the White House and the judiciary all served with the same focus, the same humility, the hard work, and the sacrifice and integrity that, Chris, you have demonstrated, we would be living in an even better country and in a better world. You've served so many presidents across both parties. We have appreciated your great example. Thank you for making a difference. God has used you to make us happy and proud. So congratulations to you as well. And now for the rest of the story, because today our Wordle moves us in an entirely different direction. I think it's very safe to say that our word for today is not as happy a word as our happy study last week. Our word for today is not an entirely unwelcome word in the right setting, but as they say, timing is everything. I chose this word over 6 weeks ago when we planned this series. It is a word of some seriousness, a weighty word, a word that can bring both anxiety or peace, fear and reassurance, stress and release, tears of grief, and sometimes tears of gratitude. Our word for today is death. And when I scheduled this word, this topic for biblical examination today, I had no way of knowing the major events that would transpire in our nation with what we have witnessed and grieved over the past 2 weeks. Death. Sometimes I hear people say that the word peace is in the Bible more than 365 times, and therefore there's peace every day. It's interesting, the word death and dying and its expression is used over 400 times in the Bible. It's with us every day too. We know that. We don't like to think about it. But what it means is that death is a topic that matters. And as many of us pastors kind of have a habit of doing, when we do funerals and memorial services, we typically say something like this: dying, death, that's not actually the problem. Death comes to all of us eventually. Our problem with death is timing and preparation. Are we prepared? Are we ready for death if and when it comes? Because nobody knows their time in advance. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations or conditions where we feel like we're going to die. Two times in my life I've been in car events spinning in snow and ice, and another time going down over a gully, and I thought, this is it. This is the end. And unbelievably, not only survived, but survived unscathed. Absolutely, was sure I was going to die. Talked to military people over the years who said, I was sure I was going to die. I looked over at my partner, he or she, they were gone. And stuff was coming. Unbelievable. I can't believe I'm here talking to you today. Sometimes we'll even use that phrase. We'll say, I should have died in the midst of all that. And yet we are spared and we are here. Military and civilians alike have those kinds of experiences. And then there's the other end of the spectrum, those other times, those other people that we feel like there is no way that their time is near. And nonetheless, it happens. For me, probably many of you also, the first shock set in when I heard on May 14th about a young white supremacist, domestic terrorist driven by replacement theory fears and how he had targeted black people in a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. 13 people shot, 11 black, 2 white. All 10 who died were black. And my heart was broken, not just for the evil itself, which is horrible enough, but that it reaches out and touches and it puts its finger on people, so many gentle souls. You know that most of the people who were shot in Buffalo were senior adults just doing their grocery shopping. Nobody walked in and said, I'm going in here to meet my maker. It was completely unexpected. And when I struggled, I said, Lord, I don't know how to respond to this. I need wisdom. And I tried, like so many people do in the face of such death, to concentrate and say, well, I read their stories. They were some remarkable people. They left some great legacies beside. Try to focus on the positive accomplishments of those people who were killed. And I did say to myself, when I talk about this with the church family, and when I talk about death, I'm going to mention these folks by name. And so I am. Aaron Salter was age 55. He was a former Buffalo police lieutenant. He was working as a security guard. He actually shot the bad guy, but he was wearing a bulletproof vest. And he was killed. In addition to him, Celestine Cheney, age 65. Roberta Drury, 32. Andre McNeil, 53. Catherine Massey, 72. Margus Morrison, 52. Haywood Patterson, 67. Geraldine Talley, 62. Ruth Whitfield, 86 years young. And Pearl Young, age 77. May God give them rest even beyond what is normal in these cases. And if all we were doing today was having a memorial service for the victims, then we would focus on grieving together. Perhaps we would all join together in reading a biblical lament like the one found in Jeremiah 4, verses 7 and 8. I invite you to hear the word of the Lord. Here's what it says. A lion has gone up from his thicket, and a destroyer of nations has set out. He's gone out from his place to make your land a waste. Your cities will be ruins without inhabitant. For this put on sackcloth, lament and wail. Lament and wail. It's just tragic. Senseless. And then, just when I thought that horrible thing in Buffalo was going to be the worst thing we would see this year, Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas happens, the site of a massacre. There's no other word for it. I actually hate to be speaking such words of evil from this holy desk, this pulpit. But brothers and sisters, those online watching, this very week, 19 children and 2 teachers lost their lives. 17 more were injured to a sick, heavily armed, murderous young man. Families will never be the same. The pain and the injustice of it all. And when you think about the horrifying juxtaposition of a happy group of fourth graders with a deranged killer full of hate. Shocking. And it reminds us of Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. You remember this from the Christmas story. We gloss over it far too much. It says this, "Then when Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, the magi, he became very enraged, and he sent and slew, he slaughtered all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled," quote, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel," and of course it doesn't mean just the biblical character of Rachel, all her descendants who lived in this region, "Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." The slaughter of the innocents reenacted in Uvalde, Texas. And these two killing sprees in our nation are tragic, horrifying, unjustifiable, and unfortunately not likely to be the last we hear of this year. In one of the great ironies of timing, the FBI had released a report on mass shootings the day before the Uvalde shootings. They noted 61 active shooter events across 30 states in 2021, with over 100 people killed. And just so we don't think that's the only tragedy that's going on in the world, to get the full picture, here are some other 2021 figures for you. Somewhere between 20 and 40,000 people a day are killed by gun violence, about half from murders. But another 43,000 die in transportation deaths. Lack of paying attention, doing all kinds of things. 108,000 died in our country in 2021 from drug overdose deaths, both illegal drugs and prescription drugs inappropriately used. And I don't even want to leave Jonathan's comment about the 30-day famine for our young people and needing to teach. They're not the only ones who need to learn. We need to know. 5,000, they learned this in their prep, 5,000 children, not a year, not a month, not a week, but a day. 5,000 children a day die on this planet from hunger and hunger-related problems caused by hunger. 5,000 people a day is 150,000 a month. It's about 1.8 to 2 million children a year. But we aren't here just to lament, just to weep over the state of our nation and our world and the tragedies of humanity. I mean, my goodness, we could all get depressed and just walk out of here and think there's no future. The tragedies of our humanity. I want to reassure you, first of all, as a church family, that on a practical level, we seek to be a part of what the Bible calls the ministry of reconciliation that's been given to us according to the book of Romans. We want to be a part of bringing God and people together, of bringing people and people together. We want to be a part of addressing world hunger, providing clean water. We want to be a part of fighting sex trafficking, opposing the scourge of drug abuse and gun violence, all that. But there's more to it than just saying, let's try to do better, even though we will try to do better. We're gathered here today not just to lament at a memorial service. We're gathered here today as the church, the beloved community, the people of God, the family of God. And I'm not here as a funeral director. I'm here as your pastor. And so my desire is to speak beyond lament to a couple of the larger questions that are in your mind and mine and those of our community and our country. They are the two very frustrating and troubling questions that are regularly asked when you have these kinds of tragedies like the one in Buffalo and the one in Uvalde. They're simply this: why did this happen? And how should we respond? Before I answer those, we have to first clearly state that the comments I'm going to make are big picture, long-term, biblical types of responses. The fact is, neither I nor you have interviewed these killers. At best, we depend on our knowledge of things from the media and from the police and the forces that be out there. The second thing we have to acknowledge is the absolute inadequacy of any explanation that we might make that we think is logical or sensible when it comes to addressing the overwhelming feelings of grief for those who were directly affected, as well as the sense of trauma often experienced by people further removed from the actual event itself. I mean, I don't care what part of America you live in. If you're a fourth grade teacher on Thursday, you went into your work with a whole different frame of mind. It's tough. It's challenging. So we need to be careful about saying, oh, this is how you solve it. But even with those limitations, most of us also want to admit our need to try and deal with the pain and the grief of these situations within the context of our faith. What does God have to say? And what insights do the community, you know, does the community of God's people have, the people of God, what do they have to say after centuries, yea, millennia, of dealing with tragedy and suffering and loss? So let's look. The question, why did this happen? Now, certainly, when this question first takes center stage after an event like we saw in Buffalo or in Uvalde or anything like it, sometimes we're talking, why did that person do it? But as time passes and we ask, why did this happen, most of us are not asking about the shooter's motives. We're not saying, why did he do it? Because, frankly, we've seen enough of these in the past to understand it most of the time, or at least some of the times, we will never fully know about this bizarre mix of some desire for notoriety. I want to get my few minutes of fame at the bloody expense of others. And you take that and you mix it with possible childhood traumas and family breakdown or mental health issues or anger or racism, and many times we don't know. The fact is, whether it is racism, as it was with the Buffalo shooter, or the tragic childhood plus the evil distortions and who knows what else of the Texas shooter, the truth is that as we continue to wrestle with these over the longer term, people are most often troubled in trying to understand God's motives. What was he doing? Why does God allow this? Couldn't he have stopped it? And then suddenly, as we reflect on it, it begins to feel like we're in a very unsafe world. So here's the truth. This is a very unsafe world in which we live. We live in a broken, fallen, world. Evil exists in this world. It is very real, and it shows up in a thousand ways. Some are dramatic and terrible. Oh, say like an invasion of a neighboring country for almost personal reasons, it seems like, with Putin and the Ukraine. Some of the evil we see is unnervingly personal and inside of us, and we catch ourselves. So when we ask ourselves, why did these shootings happen? I'm going to answer that in a way that you might not hear from some others. I do think it is at least part of the answer. I don't think it's the only answer. I don't mean to excuse anyone when I talk about this bigger picture. There's still individual responsibility. But there is a disturbingly true prophecy in the New Testament that gives us a clue. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You can follow along or simply listen, because the truth of it hits home. But mark this, writes Paul, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I mean, folks, the first time when I was a young person read that list, I thought, my goodness, what horrible people. And now I look at this and I say, oh yeah, this is like watching the news every day. This is what we see all the time in our culture. I could be real insulting, but God says don't say it, so I'm not going to say it. The predictions that we're reading here, that when Paul wrote to Timothy 2,000 years ago, times are coming which can only be described as terrible. And in the original language, the Greek in which the New Testament was written, the word that was used to describe terrible was a word that was also used to say violent, dangerous, fierce, or evil. So brothers and sisters, whether or not we're living right now in the last of the last days is not something I can tell you. One can debate those kinds of things. But I can tell you this, we have just experienced the kind of evil events predicted in this passage that cannot be disputed. But if you look at that passage, and if you've got it open in front of you, you're still looking, the prediction warns that terrible times, it's not just one event. It's not just two. These things don't happen in isolation. They're a part of a larger, darker picture of ongoing evil being manifested among us. Why did this happen? Honestly? Can we just get God honest? Really? We need to ask that question? We live in a culture which makes its rejection of God and its rejection of biblical morality little more than a laughing matter. The denial of God as creator and sustainer, that's out. We live in a world created by nothing more than pseudoscientific happenstance, just wild luck. And there is absolutely nothing more important than my sense of self and my personal pursuit of anything that makes me happy. And therefore, anything goes, because whatever I see, whatever I want, that's what I want. Anything goes. And then we ask, why? Is there evil? We ask, why is there tragedy? hear me genuinely. Our culture is very well designed, and I say sadly, it is being further distorted to achieve the results we are now experiencing. If we want different results, we have to begin by allowing God and inviting God and pleading with God to change us. And then we must live faithfully, biblically, and appropriately to reach out to the hurting people in our culture to help change our culture. Brothers and sisters and my fellow Americans and those who hear this, we cannot tell God to take a hike from our lives, to keep his hands off of our stuff and our money, to keep his opinions to himself about our morality, and then blame him for the mess that results. The Bible tells us again and again, including from the very mouth of Jesus, you reap what you sow. He did not say that in a gloating way. He said that in an encouraging, warning way. Don't go, sow good seed, not bad seed. Sow to eternity and not just to this present moment. He gave us that warning that we might avoid some of these situations, but by and large, we have not listened very carefully and we have not sown with much care. So today, I want to remind you and me and everyone in our realm of influence and internet and whatever else it might be, I want to do nothing less than to remind us all of the truth of what we sometimes refer to as the old story, which is simply this: unless we change, we repent, we turn from our evil ways and come back to the living God who loves us so much that he sent Jesus to be our Savior. Unless we turn from having beliefs about God, but really which don't change us much, to lives that are lived under the Lordship of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will never know the peace and the joy that comes as the fruit of the ministry of reconciliation. We live in a world that desperately needs a Savior. And the good news is, it has one. And that Savior, Jesus, said this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Death or life? You see, what we saw in horror from these two mass shootings is the work of the thief who kills and destroys. Oh, sure. There were human beings who served evil purposes, and there were human beings who helped wind those people up to their evil purposes. Let's just speak the truth. But we must know that it is the destroyer himself who is behind the fires of rage and confusion and hatred and hurt and violence that drove those young men. Too many helpers for the destroyer stoking the fires. You sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. But we don't want that. Tell the truth, though. We would love a world with no violence, with no murder, no theft, and no lying. A world in which people love and care for each other, where we accept one another's diversity and differences and walk hand in hand with God. And we are trying to live into that here at Pathways. I can certainly tell you that's what we're trying to do. But the fact is, we don't live in a world like that. We live in a world that is imperfect, but our hearts are yearning for so much more. The tragedy of this shooting in Buffalo and this shooting in Texas, these tragedies are shouting to all of us that we live in a broken world, a hurting world, an imperfect world, that despite how beautiful and wonderful life is at times, and it can be, and it really is, there is a streak, there is a bent of heartache and evil and death running through this world that begs for redemption, for setting things right someday. Now, I admit to you, the Bible never gives us the exact reasons why things happen today the way they do. We see historical events and we apply it to the present, but we don't always understand the exact reasons. We tend to think that things should make sense, that the pieces of the puzzle should all eventually fit together in some better way so that we can understand, so that tragedies can be fully explained. But the truth is, at the end of the day, more often we are left with gaping holes. The puzzle pieces come down and we're missing not just one, but maybe a half a dozen in a key part of the puzzle that leave us wondering what happened here. And that's not only in our understanding, but in our very hearts and the pain that we feel. The good news is what the Bible affirms is that the world is in transition, that it needs a Savior, that it needs a rescuer, that we have the one and only Savior in Jesus who proved Himself through dying in our place on the cross and then rising from the dead. He is the Savior who takes us as we are. He forgives our sins. He restores our love relationship with God. And He begins to work on transforming us from the inside out. And He desires to fill our lives with meaning and with purpose. And He promises on that journey, He will never leave us nor forsake us, not abandon us. I will stay with you, He says, in this life, and I will see you through to the end. One of my favorite scripture verses, he who endures to the end shall be saved. No matter how frightened we become along the way, no matter how ugly the journey gets, and then beyond this life, there is a new world coming, one in which there'll be no more tears or sorrow or sadness, no sin or failure, no death or disease. He will right every wrong, the Bible says, make all things new, all things new, and we will live forever with Him in His kingdom. That is His promise. I hope you know that promise for you personally today. I am required to remind you of this as well, of what He has never promised us. He has not promised us a trouble-free, long life on this earth. You see, it's kind of weird. We didn't ask to be born, but once born, we kind of assume we have a right to ask for everything else. And we kind of expect God to deliver for us, that somehow He owes us, according to the Bible, you know, at least 70 or 80 years of mostly happy years, we hope. We want pain-free years. That's what He owes us before we exit this stage of life on this earth. And by the way, God, if you don't mind, we'd like a little forewarning before this life ends. Not too much warning, but I like a little warning so I can get ready then. No. In Psalm 139:16, King David says this, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book, O Lord, before one of them came to be." In other words, God witnessed our first breath, and He knows when we will have our last gasp. And in between, His promise is to be so close to you, closer than we can imagine, And that's important for us to remember. Until that someday when God makes all things new and wipes every tear away, we need to trust Him that there is more both here and beyond. Here's what Jesus said. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Listen to this. Jesus knows what it's like to be targeted and persecuted and even executed. He knows what we as yet do not know, what resurrection is like. And so I close this study of death today by saying this. Death is many things, but death is not the end of the story. Death was not the end of the stories of those whose lives were taken or changed senselessly in these past couple of weeks. Death is not the end. So I want to jump to our video, guys, if you guys can get ready on the tech crew back there. I want to close with this. It's a two-minute video because it's something you helped make possible. A couple of months ago, we started receiving an offering for the Ukraine in the face of death, horrible death. If you aren't watching the news and the footage of what's taking place in Ukraine, you need to understand death is trying to win the day. And we are a part of that band of people joining together to say, there's more. So we sent money for resources to help feed and minister to physical needs. And just last night, see how God plans things. I chose this sermon 6 weeks ago for Memorial Day. Last night, I got this video in the mail from our missionaries over there. Rob and Donna George, who work with Novo, and they have a partner couple that works with them in the Ukraine, from Romania, Ukraine, Hungary, that's where they're all working. And they sent a video that I want you to watch so that you could understand we cannot escape the presence of evil in the world. Sometimes God protects us from it. Other times we get hurt by it. But ultimately, whether death or life comes, God never leaves us or forsakes us, and He invites us to live into hope, live into the light. And I want you to hear from our missionary partners in Novo, Ukraine. And after we watch the video, we're going to sing together the last two verses of the hymn that the praise team began to introduce to us as our offertory today. So, Ananda, and are you alone, or will you have a team in a minute? The whole team coming back up? So the whole team, you can make your way up if you want while the video's playing. And let's all see, I want to thank you for your gifts, and I want you to celebrate in the good things you see being done. Okay? Now, the missionary speaking is not an American, so pay attention so you can hear the English accent, okay, and understand what's going on in your work in ministering to people who are refugees from the Ukraine. If you would, please, team.
Hello, greetings from Cherkasy, from right outside our offices. As you can see, we still have got our Easter Christ is Risen Ukrainian banner on outside our buildings. And you can see right behind me, the line is forming for the next distribution of food parcels. So I just want to use this opportunity to show you how it works, just to show you how we're using the funds that you're sending and how we're using the prayers that you're sending to empower our team to support, encourage, and help these people physically and spiritually. So thank you for that. Let's take you inside.
So I invite you to stand with me, and we're going to sing on this closing hymn. If you say, well, I didn't really catch it all so much, it's okay. Enjoy. Think on the words. Meditate on the words of this song, because we are about this. And the reason we close with this video and this hymn, because Jesus is about bringing life out of death. And we're here to celebrate that today in the face of whatever we face in the world's circumstances. Team, lead us, please.